Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas. It's For Love of Food at SaveYourLife.com. And this week, Democrat and Chronicle, Tracy Schumacher posted an article about new restaurants for 2021, places to enjoy, food hall, barbecue joint, cozy cafe in the headlines. And you can check it out. It's for subscribers only in It's 10 bucks a month to be a subscriber, so you should do that. And one of the places that she highlights is going to be coming, the Velvet Belly, which is going to be in the former Union Street Bakery, that space at the Public Market, right next to Fiorella. And there's a rendering of that's in the article, so you can get a sense for what it's like. The odd thing about this rendering is that it looks like there's marble outdoor patio that extends the whole length there from to the left to beyond the Velvet Belly Fiorella. So I don't know if there's plans to put that in. It looks more like a mall. It's really like an indoor mall. It's kind of odd, actually. But the cool thing is the Union Street Bakery looks pretty amazing. And given the people that are involved in this, it's going to be a really nice place. Josh Miles, who also has the Revelry and Bronca, Bitter Honey, and Jeremy Nuccelli, who's one of the best chefs in Rochester, and has been for years, like, I don't know, 20 or 30 years, one of the very top, if you like, name the top five or six chefs over the last 20 years, Jeremy Nuccelli, maybe lesser known because he doesn't really seek out attention and has worked at only a couple of restaurants. He hasn't worked that many places, I don't think, over these years. The Strathallan, most recently, it's just fantastic chef. It's going to be a seafood restaurant, supposedly. According to the article, sushi, a raw bar, and steaks and things, wood-fired grill. And it's just the beginning, I think, for the Public Market. There are so many spaces at the Public Market that they could do cool things with. And you know, if someone were to go to the Public Market once Velvet Belly is open later this year and see Fiorella and Cure and you know, just outside the market, Bitter Honey, Rohrbach's, Black Button Distillery, Boxcar Donuts, lots of cool places at or next to the Public Market now, and that's just going to continue, I think. And these places have what most restaurants would love to have, which is parking. It may be hard to find a place to park on a Saturday morning at the Public Market, but in the evening, when these restaurants are open, there's like 600 parking places that are open. And Huey from Lemongrass Blue Taro has said he's going to be reopening his restaurant, which is just across from the Union Street entrance to the Public Market, and it hasn't been open for quite a few years. So the Public Market's going to really turn into a fantastic evening destination, and it already is, but there are lots of other spaces that could be opened. You have these covered sheds, which could potentially be used for outdoor dining during the summer. It's just lots of potential things for the Public Market, these restaurants, and this is great news to see Velvet Belly going in. The article from Tracy says that the bar program is being developed by Becca Peschia, a Fairport native who has been working or had been for the Dead Rabbit in New York City, which, beyond the name, which is completely odd, I don't know the story behind the name, the Dead Rabbit, which is just an odd name, but really kind of a famous cocktail bar in New York City. I've never been, but I've heard about it, and as the name kind of sticks with you. But that'll bring some additional excitement and the revelry and Bronc and Midtown Bitter Honey have been a part of the Rochester cocktail revival, and the Velvet Belly will just add to that. So I wouldn't be surprised to see pop-up events out under the sheds, maybe some collaborations with these restaurants. There's just a lot to work with there. And, once the pandemic is under control, I think we'll see some of those things start to happen. But for now, they are planning to open at some point here this year. And it's exciting. Exciting for the public market. And in addition to having a new restaurant, it helps to show the kind of investment that's going into the public market. And if you were to walk down what had been called Commission House Row, which is the row of buildings that Union Street Bakery was in and soon to be the Velvet Belly, as well as Fiorella and Vince Giordano's Cheese Shop and Cure and the Flower City Bread, Java's, if you walk down that row of buildings, you'll notice that really most of the space is wholesale businesses. And, they've been there for many decades. Like Flower City Produce is one of them. And there was a flower wholesaler, but I think they moved out closer to the Flower City Bread. There's a bunch of buildings there. Some of them older, some of them, probably not too cool inside, but still interesting things could be done with those spaces. I've never even actually been in them, the wholesale places, so I don't know what they look like. But I'll guarantee with Josh Miles and Jeremy Nicelli and one of the people who's managed Josh's restaurants, Chelsea Felton, also one of the partners in this. With them investing in the Velvet Belly, there are going to be other restaurants, restaurant groups, investors, chefs who are going into some of these wholesale places and saying, what it take to have you move out so we can move into this space. And for the wholesalers, they don't necessarily need to be right at the market. These days the market gets so busy that I'm not sure it's how beneficial it is to them to be there on a Saturday or a Thursday for that matter. And for the other days of the week, their wholesale customers could come, a block away from the public market just as easily as into the public market. So I would bet in the next 10 years that most of these wholesale places will move out, and it will be a restaurant row with four to five new restaurants within the public market. Cure was the first. And that took a lot of guts to open Cure, I think. That opened maybe 8 years ago now. I got to go back and figure out how long ago that was. And at that point, there had not been a business of any kind, much less a restaurant, open in the public market space in the evening forever. I don't know if, maybe there may have been some in the I don't know, the 50s maybe or something. But I'm maybe not in the evening. So the Cure was kind of a huge gamble. And that's Michael Calabrese, Chuck Sierkowski, and Dan Martello, who really had an amazing vision, I think, of what the public market could be, and opened Cure, and it's done very well, and now it looks kind of obvious that it's a cool place to have a restaurant. But when they opened Cure, it was not obvious. People were maybe more reluctant to go downtown. The public market had not been renovated the way it is now. Some renovations have been done, but the new winter shed, the D shed, which is over closer to Cure, a bunch of these spaces had not been opened. So it is, again, it looks obvious now, like it was a good idea, but they put a lot of money into Cure, and there were probably a lot of skeptics at that point. I was excited about it and thought this kind of development would increase maybe faster than it has, but it's coming in. That Union Street Bakery building is that's going to help inspire even more, help to create a critical mass where a bunch of these other buildings will turn to restaurants or retail much faster. So, again, check out the Democrat and Chronicle article Tracy Schumacher did. It mentions a bunch of other places. Where I have not been yet, I'm looking forward to seeing the former American Can Company in Fairport, as Iron Smoke is there, Tripphammer Beer Works, and Campane Trattoria. And there's a new place, Smokin' Hot Chicks Barbecue, that's been a food truck, according to Tracy, for the last 5 years. They're opening their brick and mortar space, and kind of from the photo, they got bricks. It's the old interior exposed brick look at the Smokin' Hot Chicks Barbecue. So these are some of the places that are opening. She also has quite a long section about the food hall in Sibley Square, the Mercantile on Main. That has some of those places have opened, and she's got details on which ones and who owns them. Nice overview, some nice photos of it too, and a bunch of places in Sibley Square. So check out her article, democratandchronicle.com. And again, support local journalism, become a subscriber. And for digital access, $10 a month, really, it is, I think, a great bargain. Also wanted to mention Edible Finger Lakes put out an interview with me. I appreciate they're doing that interview. It was a little bit different kind of interview, which I liked. They sent me a list of questions, and I sent them my answers, and that's what they printed. A lot of interviews, you talk about a lot of things, a lot of questions, and then they pick and choose and put a few things in the article. This one, again, kind of allowed me to elaborate on things, and it was fun to do. So look forward to seeing who else they interview. And I've been a fan of Edible Finger Lakes since they launched. I think the magazine helps to make our area, our region, the Finger Lakes, helps to put us on the map. It's part of the, it's kind of a franchise of Edible Communities, which started in Ojai, California, where the first Edible Ojai was printed, and then the founders of that decided to franchise it, and I think Edible Cape Cod was next. They were the first franchisee, and it's expanded from there, and Edible Finger Lakes was fairly early on in that group. There's like 60 of these around the United States and Canada. And Edible Finger Lakes stopped publishing for several years when Michael Welsh, Zoe Becker moved to Colorado, I think, for 4 or 5 years. But they returned and restarted it, fortunately. Ted Marks from Atwater Vineyards has joined as one of the owners of the magazine, and he actually has his background. He owned one or maybe several bookstores in Elmira, and so you know, print publications and books and magazines are something that he knows really well, and I think probably a great combination to have him involved in the magazine. So you should subscribe to Edible Finger Lakes, not because they have an interview with me, but because it's an awesome publication, and it really they're doing quite a bit online right now, in between publication dates on Facebook, and you should follow them and get excited about what's happening in our region. And you know, in Rochester, we get a fair amount of information about what's happening, maybe at Canandaigua, but less about Geneva, and even less about Ithaca and Watkins Glen and Hammondsport, and you know, all these places are hour and a half away, 2 hours to Ithaca at most, maybe an hour and 45 minutes. And we need a publication like Edible Finger Lakes to cover all of that. Michael Welsh is based down in, I think, Trumansburg. So if anything, Edible Finger Lakes tends to have a less of a Rochester focus and more information on the, in a sense, the southern Finger Lakes, Geneva to Ithaca, which is really helpful to me because I don't spend as much time in those areas, but I'm going to. I'm looking forward to spending more time there when the pandemic ends, and checking out the restaurants, some of the new wineries and breweries, etc. So ediblefingerlakes.com, you can get more details. Subscribe and you don't have to look for the publication, which they have them available at the advertisers of Edible Finger Lakes, but you have to get there, and you have to get there while you still have copies. So become a subscriber. Again, ediblefingerlakes.com. If you have news on places you've been recently, or some great dishes that you've had at restaurants, now, at least for the time being, the Rochester restaurants are back in zone yellow, which means that they can open for limited indoor dining. It doesn't mean all of them have. Not all of them are doing that immediately. There's probably some that are worried that it's going to go back to only takeout, and they don't want to be on this swinging pendulum that they can't control. So don't assume that restaurants are open again for indoor dining. I would call first, make reservations, consider doing. And there are a couple new operations, kind of pop-up operations that are going on. One is doing a kind of a curated menu from a specific restaurant each week, maybe each month. I'm not sure. They're just doing the first test one this week, and we'll let you know. But they are delivering a specific curated menu from a certain restaurant each time they do this. And the first one is this week. Also, I saw Sean Wolf is involved in a fried fish dinner. I think it starts Friday, this Friday, the 22nd of January. And that's going to be at on Gregory Street, the old German house. They're going to be doing this, and some of the funds from these dinners, it'll include Osmote Chardonnay, which is a Finger Lakes brand, It doesn't have a tasting room, but it's been around quite a while. Has some tremendous Chardonnay, and they make a couple other varieties of wine too. But that Friday fish fry is going to include the Osmote Chardonnay. And Sean Wolf, a wonderful chef, most recently at the Old Creekside Tavern in Leroy, and also one of the chefs that participated in the cast iron cooking competition at the Genesee Country Village Museum a couple of years ago. So if you want details on that, email me or follow him on Facebook to find out more information about that. I expect they'll probably have ordering in advance. And again, the first one this Friday, and some of the funds, again, from this dinner, takeout dinner, are going to be go to help restaurant workers here in our area. So we'll have more details next weekend as they start to roll that out. And restaurants are just trying to survive right now, and it's going to be a very difficult couple of months. The stimulus checks, that the $600 that went out or is going out, depending on how you get it, that doesn't help that much over this many months. And it looks likely that there will be additional stimulus checks, which might actually help people get through what could be a very long January, February, perhaps March, as the coronavirus continues to expand and vaccines are just beginning to roll out. So, restaurant workers, among some of the hardest hit, there's only so many employees that they can bring back to do takeout. It's nothing like the staffs that they had when they were operating at 100%, and operating at 25 or 50% only brings back a fraction of the staff. So there have been quite a few efforts around the country to help restaurant workers, and again, some here locally as well. There was one article I saw about people adopting restaurant workers, in a sense, to help them. Various cities are doing this. It's just it's a brutal time for everyone, but there are some industries like the restaurant industry that are difficult to succeed in the best of times, and incredibly challenging to survive in during this kind of pandemic. One other note from the article Tracy Schumacher did, that the Old School Cafe in Naples will be opening in the near future, and a couple paragraphs about them. Trish Azer and her partner in this, Joseph, they've been working on this for many months now. Looking forward to opening here in some point in 2021. I would guess probably spring, but at this point, they're still working on the interior. This old one-room schoolhouse, 150-year-old one-room schoolhouse. So, again, DemocratandChronicle.com. The article is the new places, new restaurants for 2021. And send me photos. Let me know if you get to some of these places that already are open, like Mercantile on Main. Some of those are open. Not all of the places in there, but some of them have opened. And it's whatever you can do with gift cards, with takeout, delivery, with posts on social media to help our local restaurants. all of that would be greatly appreciated by the restaurant community. The chain restaurants are doing, I think, in general, just fine for various reasons. Not the least of which is a huge backup of corporate access to capital and lending and things. The local independent restaurants don't have that, and you might wonder why places are even opening in 2020 and already in 2021. I think that is a combination of people who had already signed leases and already had contracts in place, and so they pretty much had to open to try to get some money coming in the door, and other people who have some access to lending and realize that there will be an end to this, and they want to be ready when the pandemic ends. So it's hopeful to see some new places opening, but again, whatever you can do to support the local restaurant scene, the chefs, the owners, the dishwashers, the wait staff, they would all appreciate that. We will be back with Discover the Finger Lakes tomorrow, the Grapevine. Michael Warren Thomas here at SaverLife.com. Have a great day.